worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program here on Tuesday, February the 18th. We pray that you are having a great day. We're going to be having church tomorrow night. I'm going to be sharing and want to invite you out to our Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. But today I want to let you know about Just Concrete. Their phone number is 321-536-5804. They've got decades of experience dealing with all things concrete. And we were just talking, Danny and I, about being able to survive a hurricane, because we get those things that come and visit Brevard County every once in a while. And after Hurricane Andrew, they made sure that the things that were on top of the slab were somehow connected to the slab in order for them to be able to survive greater degrees of storms. And so I want to have a solid foundation spiritually, but and I can help with that, but the folks at Jits Concrete can make sure that you have a solid foundation for whatever project you might be working on. Let them put their decades of experience, expertise, and their great work ethic to work on your project. And if you have something coming up and need to get a hold of them, their number is 321-536-5804. So today we're going to dive into 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to talk about verses 1 through 5. Like we did in chapter 3, we're not talking about every verse in chapter 4. Paul writes to Timothy, his spiritual son in the faith, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is a mandate. This is an order that Paul gives to him. And he says, "I'm making this charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says this, "who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Many people don't realize that there is a day of accountability. A lot of times we only think of accountability if we are accused of a crime and then we have to go to court and then we have to give an account of what we've done and things like that. I want you to know that God's word says that there is a day of accountability coming where we are going to have to give an account for every idle word. We're going to have to give an account of our relationship with Jesus or lack thereof. And if we are believers, that we are going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ and we are going to be judged by the things that we did because he saved us for the glory of God. Said it's going to be a trial by fire, and that the wood, hay, the stubble, the things that were done with improper motives or not done in faith, that those things will be burned up, they will be consumed, but there will hopefully also be things that stand the test of fire, and that will be they will come forth shining like gold, metal, and precious stones. I don't want to appear before God empty-handed. I want to have a crown that I can lay at his feet. I heard someone say, I wasn't there to hear her say this, but it was attributed to Queen Elizabeth before she died, that at one point in time she had said, I do so hope that Jesus returns in my lifetime because I would love to lay my crown at his feet. And she has passed away now, but there are more than just the crowns of a queen or a crown of a king. There are the crowns that are given to us. There's the crown of life. And so the Bible talks about five crowns that are available. And I just want to present as lavish a gift to my Savior, who made it possible for me to spend eternity with him, as possible. It's not because of me, but because of his Spirit working in me, that I will have anything of any merit that will withstand the test of fire. When Paul stood before Felix, I believe it was, he would talk to him about, he would talk to him about self-control and righteousness and the judgment to come. And whenever he would start talking about those things, he would get very unnerved and he'd say, okay, that's enough for now. But he liked to talk to him. He liked to hear from him. But whenever the word of God got too close, you know, whenever we start talking about self-control, that makes people nervous. When we start talking about righteousness, well, that means I'm not going to be able to do what myself wants me to do. And then we start talking about the judgment to come, and people don't want to hear that at all. And so it is best to know what the verdict is going to be before you ever go into court. And in the courtroom of heaven, the only plea that brings freedom is when you say, Father, I stand before you guilty as charged as a sinner. But I stand here as a person forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So many times people are trying to prove their own innocence without pleading their own responsibility. I'm not here because of all of the sins of you know, predecessors and things like that. I've sinned against God, you know, too much as it is, and I hate breaking God's heart. I don't want to break his heart, and sin does that. So not only do we need to realize that that charge influences us, but we need to realize that that charge means that there is going to be a judgment for every person that is going to impact the living and the dead. That judgment is going to happen at his appearing and his kingdom. So as a result of that, preach the word. So we just talked about in previous programs about the importance of the word. The word should be our message. The second talks about a condition of readiness. Be ready in season and out of season. And so there are times I went on a missions trip a few years ago, and I knew I was preaching on a number of occasions, but they hadn't really told me the number. And I thought that once I finished the second one, I thought I was done. Conference came to an end. Unbeknownst to me, they had gathered another group for me to minister to the next day. And I was like, God, we're going to need a word, and we're going to need it right now. And so you need to be ready for the season that is coming up. You know, like here we are in February. We're looking forward to spring. We want to wait for the arrival of summer as long as possible. I prefer the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. If they're the low 80s, I don't like the 90s and the 100s and the 100% humidity and stuff like that. We prepare ourselves for the season that we come, but sometimes in our walk with God, we find ourselves in an out-of-season moment, and we need to be ready for that as well. So there have been times when I have been called upon to minister to somebody, when if it means praying, if it means stopping what I was doing so that I can minister to this hurting person, that happens quite a bit. And at that point in time, you say, God, I'm going to really need the Spirit of God to show up, because this is an out-of-season moment. It's not an in-season moment. And the only way that I can be ready is to prepare my heart before you. God, would you minister? And I remember when my mother passed away, there was the funeral that day, and after the funeral, the pastor of the seniors ministry said, the last few times you've been here, we haven't asked you to preach. You've had enough time off your preaching tomorrow morning. And I was like, oh, wasn't planning on that. I was here grieving my mother and rejoicing that she was in heaven. And so I got to work about getting ready to minister in a very difficult season of my life. Just because you're going through a challenging season doesn't mean that you will not have the opportunity to minister to someone. Philip was pulled out of a revival and positioned in a desert. But while he was in the desert, there was a guy riding in a chariot that he ministered to, baptized, and then he was snatched out of that environment and entered a different environment where he could minister. So our preaching, the preaching of the word, we need to be ready to preach. And if you've been in church any length of time at all, and you think that you still don't know enough of the word to talk to anybody else about the word of God, I will tell you that you probably have more biblical training if you've been in a church for 5 years or 10 years and you've been going week after week after week faithfully. You've probably heard more of the word of God than many pastors around the world. Don't believe the lie that you've never heard anything. Now, if you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs and you've got your ears closed off and you're not really paying attention to things that are going on, that's a different story. You need to change that, because God wants us leading people to Jesus, not just pastors, not just Sunday school teachers, but people preaching. So he goes on and he says, as you preach the word, you're going to convince, you're going to rebuke, you're going to exhort. That means teaching, with all long suffering and teaching. So there needs to be this teaching that is coming from a position of authority, but it's coming from a position of passion as well. I've seen teachers who they continued teaching long after they had lost the passion to teach. So I talk a lot of times about my favorite math teacher. I just talked about her on a program here last week, I believe it was. They put me in trig and analytics in 10th grade. In 11th grade, they put me in geometry. And my geometry teacher literally wrote the textbook. But he was a person that was just waiting for retirement. There was no fire. You know, it was kind of like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. He wasn't passionate about doing his job anymore. And so he really didn't care if you grasped the concept or not. He was still going to get paid. He was still going to get his pension. And he was looking forward to being retired. As we're teaching people, we need to remember that it is people that we are teaching. And if you're going to deal with people, you'd better be long-suffering. People require patience. I always like to put people in perspective that they're, that you're an, not an overnight sensation. God has been long-suffering with me. He's been long-suffering with you. One of the things that I look back on and see in my life, I have the ability to remember my failures more than my successes. I am one of the hardest people on Bob is me. And so I look back, and even though I lived the gospel when I was in high school and grade school and middle school, I wasn't as vocal. I was a shy, quiet kid. I'm an introvert by nature, which sounds really strange from a guy that spends 30 minutes on the radio three times a week and all of that sort of stuff. But it's true. And so as I was ministering, it was by lifestyle example. It wasn't necessarily because I was so communicative. And I look back and I say, I wonder how many people I could have talked to. And so you and I, we didn't respond as quickly as God would have liked for us to respond. And at that point in time, we are very thankful for his long-suffering nature. We need to make sure that we are not only recipients of that, but we put that to practice as well. The reason that we do those things, convince, rebuke, exhort, and you can see all of those talked about in chapter 3, that we do it with long-suffering and teaching, is because he tells Timothy that the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, where there will be no appetite for sound doctrine. There will be an appetite. There will actually be a disdain for it. And so if that happens, it's going to require us as the people of God not to give up the message, but to realize that this treasured person that Jesus died on the cross to save, it's going to take a miracle. It's going to take time. It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take prayer for us to be able to reach them. The reason that 2 Timothy 4 says that they will not endure sound doctrine is because that doctrine will not line up with their desires, their own desires. So I had a person one time, and I was talking with them, and it was not just about them, it was about some other people as well. And I found out that they weren't telling me the truth. And so I asked them, I said, why are you all not telling me the truth? And they said this, we tell you what you want to hear. Well, that was a misdiagnosis on their part, because what I wanted to hear was the truth. Now, when I go to, you know, a doctor, I hope that they tell me good news. What I want them to tell me is reality. If there's a problem, I want to know it. I don't want them to beat around the bush. I don't want them to pretend like it's no big deal and that it'll, you know, it'll pass and all of that sort of stuff. In fact, I had a conversation with a doctor back in 2024 that when I went in, they said, we need to do something about this. And I said, why is that? And they began to explain what could happen if we didn't do it. And I said, you know, I want to thank you for telling me this, I said, this is not a new situation for me, but the previous people who've discussed this with me said, you know, this is really inconvenient. It's too bad you're going through this. But they really didn't say that there was the potential for amplified problems. So I'd like to thank you for telling me the truth. Let's get on with the business of making this problem as minimal as we can. People have their desires, and they really want the Word of God to confirm their desires rather than God changing their desires. Jesus said, I desire and I delight to do the will of the Father. So when the Bible talks about God will give you the desires of your heart, it doesn't mean that if I have a desire for a purple Lamborghini, I don't even know if they make a purple Lamborghini. I wouldn't want a Lamborghini because I'd have to get out of it. I like things that are higher. I don't like things that are lower. So if I had a desire for one of those, that doesn't mean that he was necessarily going to give it to me because I desired it. The Bible, when it says he gives you the desires of your heart, it means he gives my heart the desires that line up with his desires for me. These people that Paul is writing to, he says they're going to, according to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They're going to recruit their teachers. They're going to be teachers that tell them the things that they want to hear, that it will have a tingling sensation. It'll make them feel good to hear that. And so what really is happening is it's in chapter 3, it's deceiving and being deceived. It's evil men who are imposters. They're posing as godliness, and yet there's ungodliness. And what Paul is saying is this false teaching is not just going to happen in school. This false teaching will happen in churches. And so I don't remember who I was talking to. And it might have been a class I was teaching. I don't remember. But I was talking about this person who's very famous. Got a large church, got a large influence. And I said, and I watched a video, and I couldn't deal with it because they never, I mean, his entire message went on and on and on, and it never even got to the Word of God until maybe right at the end of the message where they threw on this verse to try and give credibility to what all the other things that they had said. The Word of God needs to be foundational. And so I hope that your appetite for spiritual nutrition is not just something that makes you feel good or makes your ears feel good, but instead that it tells you the truth and it speaks correction into your life. As long as I'm breathing, I need correction. As long as you're breathing, we need correction. We're still being fashioned and formed for his purpose. It says the result of this, verse number 4, 2 Timothy 4:4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. A fable is just a story that makes you feel good. Maybe there's a little bit of a it'd be good if you avoided this. Grimm's Fairy Tales and Fables was a book that I had when I was growing up. I don't remember ever reading that book more than once, but I can tell you I did find a book one time that had a lot of truth in it. In fact, I read it all the way through. I couldn't find anything that wasn't true in it, and I feast on it every year over and over and again, and that's the Word of God. If you close your ears to the truth, your ears will be open to things that may sound good superficially, but they do not have any substance to them. So he tells Timothy in verse 5, in spite of everything that's going on, whether it is in a small group, whether it's a large group, whether it's an individual, or whether it's an entire community, don't fall into that same line of behavior. You be watchful in all things. Keep your eyes open. In that season, you will endure afflictions. You will encounter difficult seasons, difficult moments, things that will be unpleasant. But Paul, in another place, referred to things like this as light and momentary afflictions compared to the weight of glory that we have in store for us in heaven. That's what keeps my spiritual bearing. That's what keeps my spiritual compass calibrated. Is what does eternity look like? What does this moment look like compared to eternity? And it's very fleeting, and any discomfort for a season will not compare to the joy that awaits for us in the presence of Jesus for all of eternity. And then he says this, do the work of an evangelist. So pastors get to talk to people about Jesus as well. But it's not just the pastor's job. If you're going to a church, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, tell as many people as you possibly can the good news that Jesus saves, that Jesus is interceding for them, that Jesus is loving them and wants to spend eternity with them. And the last thing he tells Timothy here in verse number 5 is fulfill your ministry. Make the most out of it. Don't just start it and abandon it. Fulfill it. Keep at it until the master says it's done. You know, that's really what all of us are here for. I'm here to do whatever God calls me to do, whenever God calls me to do it, for as long as God calls me to do it. That's the joy of serving Jesus, because he doesn't make you do it alone. You get the thrill of doing it with him. He's the God who will never leave you and never forsake you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.